You're listening to the Gold Derby Show on the Gold Derby Podcast Network. Welcome back to Gold Derby. I'm Christopher Rosen. I'm joined by Joy Singh. Joyce, today, Wednesday night, we're doing this, the Screen Actors Guild Awards.
Are we just going to make this a nightly thing every week now?
I feel like we could. I mean, like, it worked for NBC.
Like after dark.
It definitely feels a little darker in my office here.
Your tree is gone.
No tree. That's gone. And not really a lot of lights. Maybe I should get a ring light or something. You have such good lighting in your spot.
I have a lot of ring lights to give you. I was sent a lot in the past 2 years.
I haven't gotten one. If you're watching this and you have an ability to send somebody a ring light, I would not turn it down, I guess. Are we allowed to even do that? I don't even know. But if you have a ring light.
You're saying you can be bought, basically.
Well, for the big ring.
We could get
big ring
light. Con hashtag ad.
Yeah, big ring light. I'm in the bag for them. But Joyce, kidding aside, Screen Actors Guild Awards. We're so excited. The nominees are announced today. Lots of surprises and snubs, I would say.
A lot of things happened today.
So let's start with the actual nominees, and then we could maybe go through the nominees and then figure out like where we went wrong. I got smoked on the film side of things. We're going to do this just as film for now. And then if you're watching this and are like, when are they going to talk about TV? We're going to do another one of these. So if you're watching this and haven't seen the TV one, go watch the TV one. And if you're watching,
we just want more time to talk about Succession. That's
yes.
all.
Yeah. And if you came from the TV one, which we'll post as well. Hello. Nice to see you here on the film side of things. Joyce, let's start. Let's just start right at the top of the ensemble. You had said, I feel like for months that Power of the Dog was not going to make it in here. And I had it out for months. And then I put it in yesterday or the other day. And I was like, it's obviously getting in. It did not.
Why did you do that?
I got fooled by the odds. It was like second in the odds. And I was like, I know it's going to get 3 acting nominees. And it did. And I was like, it's probably going to get an ensemble, even though I would argue it's not like, you know, I don't know. Is it an ensemble? I guess. Who knows? This is all of these track here. The nominees for ensemble were Belfast, Coda, Don't Look Up, House of Gucci, and King Richard.
Very good day for House of Gucci. We're going to talk about the BAFTA long list a little later, but that also came out today an hour before SAG nominations. So I never had Power of the Dog in it. It just like reeked of, you know, like I said this before, like Marriage Story, like Shape of Water, like a top best picture contender that gets like multiple individual nominations. Although like Shape also missed for Octavia Spencer, who did get in at the Oscars, but it's like too like highbrow artsy type for the populism of SAG. And yeah, I never had it in. I think I got three.
I got three.
I feel like Belfast, Coda, and Don't Look Up. I got that.
So I had Belfast, Coda, and King Richard. I felt like those were like the three, the most locked. And I guess then parsing down from there, I think Belfast and Coda were like the ones most people definitely expected and got.
Mm-hmm. I had King Richard for a long time, and then I like dropped it like last week, I think, for The Harder They Fall, which like did not get it.
I dropped Don't Look Up for being the Ricardos, because I was like, oh, I really kind of, I went in on Javier Bardem, and then spoiler alert for that ended up being right. And I was like, oh, it'll get in for ensemble.
But that was yesterday when I asked you if I should put in Javier. Yes. And then you're like, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to go all in with being the Ricardos.
Here's something I think I learned from these predictions. I feel like I went against my gut because I was just like, I like these. Like I left when I first saw being the Ricardos, I was like, Javier Bardem is definitely getting, I really felt like he was getting in. Like
you were like raving about it. And then you're like, I can see all four getting in.
I could see all four getting in. I can honestly still see three getting in. J.K. Simmons got snubbed here. Probably not. But I was like, I was way in on it. And I just was like, oh, even though I still like movie, I've actually seen it like I've seen it like 3 times, Joyce. It's pretty strange. I watched
like since it hit Amazon.
Well, total. I saw a screening and then since it hit Amazon, I saw it 2 more times. So it's definitely like weird that I've seen it that much. It's not like my favorite movie, but I really liked it. I think it's a good movie. And it got raked over the coals, obviously, in the reviews and like on film Twitter and stuff. And I was like, I'm going to change my mind and this and that. Anyway, I went back to Javier Bardem and that was right. But then on other ones, I was like, oh, you know, maybe I took out things that I think I should have left in. I had toyed with the notion of, for instance, taking out Kristen Stewart, because I just felt like you were saying, like you've been saying for a while, the SAG is more mainstream, let's say. And as we learned from when I first saw Spencer way back at Telluride last year,
your friend,
my unnamed lady friend behind me at the screening was like, that sucked. And I was like, oh, that was really good. And she maybe was more akin to the voting committee, the nominating committee at SAG than I was, because Kristen Stewart was snubbed. But we'll get to Best Actress in a second, just wrapping up ensemble. Yeah, I don't know. You had Harder They Fall. I had Being Ricardo's. I had Power of the Dog.
I also had West Side Story, which only got in Ariana DeBose in supporting actress. And this just confirmed that, you know, the screeners were too late.
I bet on that. I actually, the only nominee I had going, we predicted, was Ariana, because I was like, mm-hmm. I think because she's playing Anita in West Side Story, it's an undeniable like nomination, basically.
Well, also like she's also built up so much momentum. Like she's right. Become like the acting representative of that movie, even though it could like feasibly get multiple acting nominations at the Oscars still. But she's been like winning all the critics awards.
And she's also like been in a lot of things. I mean, she was in like, you know, she was in Prom. She was in.
Yes. Everyone remembered her from Prom last year.
Well, I mean, like they probably saw it though. You know what I mean?
And they like, definitely saw her in Hamilton. I don't know if they know she's in Hamilton.
Right. So yeah. I feel like she was the one who got in, and that I bet on the fact that I think this late screeners would hurt West Side Story.
Yeah.
When you look at the nominees in supporting actor and ensemble, I think it's hard to argue that if West Side Story was sent a physical screener instead of a digital screener, I think it would have gotten in. I just feel like it probably would.
Yeah, I think it would have too. And it just confirmed like you just have to be early with that. Cause even though like this calendar was skewed this year, it had there were extra 2 weeks of voting. And obviously it was a month behind. Because normally like it would end like right after Thanksgiving. And if you sent a screener like the week of Thanksgiving, that was way too late. So even with these extra 2 weeks, it was still too late. And so I think it was underseen. But then again, it basically maxed out at BAFTA.
Correct. Which so we'll talk about.
But it was like a wash for them today. But yeah, I just feel like this was a missed opportunity for them because I think they could have done really well here. And like it could have won ensemble. You know, and I think they were trying to, I think they still are trying to leg out theatrically. And that's why they kept the screener at bay. They just flew too close to the sun.
Right. And we've seen that before. Like you were saying, I think we were talking about this last week, a lot of like Wolf of Wall Street was one that like missed.
Because Also the other difference is like a lot of those late breaking films in past years, like those were like Christmas releases as well. Like The Post, you know, or like Phantom Thread. Right. Like those also underperformed at SAG. But they had like late screen or like Little Women. I was saying like last week, like when that was late, I just like dropped it completely from SAG, but I was still confident it would get in to at the Oscars and did, and you know, got two acting nominations too. But like with like West Side, like it opened before Christmas, you know? So I think they were hoping like people like went enough screenings, like the SAG, the Guild screenings, and then maybe would like go out and see it themselves. So it wasn't like a late, like wide release, but I think it was still like the screener issue.
Yeah. And if you're watching this, I mean, like you guys are talking like Missing Don't Look Up was like came out much later. Obviously I think it's a different animal because it's got the most recognizable names on earth. And it was
on Netflix and the SAG loves Netflix. Correct. Like it's not that like they don't like watching digital screeners. Like we said before, like West Side Story didn't send a physical screener. It's like, they know how to navigate Netflix.
Right.
And I don't think like they care to like log onto the screening site and like figure out like how to like hook it up to your computer to watch it like on their big screen TV or whatever, you know, like
exactly. All that stuff. So Joyce, early favorites. So like two things, A, Should we wait to talk House of Gucci? Because I'm like ready to throw that in like as a best picture nominee at the Oscars. And then B, what do you think is going to win? I know you haven't made your picks yet, but
I mean, I can do it live right now. Again, I think this was a complete missed opportunity for West Side Story because they could have won here. And now I'm just like, I don't know. I think Don't Look Up can actually win, even though this is its only nomination here. It will be like in the vein of like Parasite and Black Panther, Lord of the Rings. It has the largest nominated right. cast, obviously, right. The starriest as well. And likely expected it's playing well to the industry because it also basically maxed out at the BAFTA long list. I could also see House of Gucci winning.
I actually thought House of Gucci maybe could win, but I put Coda in. I thought maybe Coda would win only because I feel like it had the additional, though I guess House of Gucci would do too. But I was like, I don't know. I just felt like Coda maybe is the one because it performed maybe as expected. House of Gucci, though, I really think could make a play. And it would be like, I guess, like a David O. Russell-y type win, right? Like when American Hustle won or whatever. Because
yeah.
I could see what you're saying about Don't Look Up, though. And I think maybe that does win because like we said, the industry definitely loves it. And I think a lot of actors love it. And the cast is, you have everyone from like the biggest stars in the world, obviously like Leo and Leonardo DiCaprio and Jennifer Lawrence to like very well liked like character actors like Melanie Lynskey and like Rob Morgan. You know what I mean? It's like a broad spectrum of actors and different levels of the industry. And I think that could help it win. I don't think Belfast is going to win. Based on how it performed elsewhere here. I don't
think it was. And I guess, you know, it's weird because I think like at this, like, or like leading up to like today, you know, people were sort of like maybe doubting Katrina Balfe and like, she was the one to get it. And then both Belfast guys got snubbed. But it is, I guess, of these five films here, it is the closest to a Best Picture frontrunner because I still think like Power of the Dog, even though it's not here, but I expected it not to be here, is still in the pole position. So I guess you could say like Belfast is probably top two, top three.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think all of these movies, so now the four of these movies we've all mostly had in Best Picture at the Oscars, Belfast, Coda, Don't Look Up, and King Richard. And then I think House of Gucci is getting it just based on this.
I'm ready to like dump Spider-Man for House of Gucci.
We've talked about Spider-Man, still love Spider-Man. And I know if people are watching this again, they're probably like, you absolute hack. Cause we spent so much time talking about Spider-Man, but I was like, I think we overlooked the fact is House of Gucci was a box office hit as well. So it's like irrelevant in that conversation. If you're like, oh, how are the Oscars going to nominate movies no one has seen like they do? And maybe that's how Spider-Man gets in. But House of Gucci was relatively seen, you know, pretty widely at the box office.
It's the most successful adult drama
right. of
the pandemic. So.
And it's got, again, because it's a Ridley Scott movie, it has like impeccable crafts and like all these different people in the departments have worked with a bunch of other people. And I think the actors obviously love the film as well. And it does have that like kind of American Hustle-y vibe. I could see it getting in now. I really could. And I would say, as we go through this, I'm like, we had talked about maybe Lady Gaga and Jared Leto missing Oscar nominations. And now I'm like, oh, maybe not. I think they'll probably.
Remember on Friday when I was like, I'm going to like take on Nicole and Gaga. But like, I knew like they would change, like my picks would change after today. And they are. So I just took a 5-day sabbatical.
So let's go through the rest here. Male actor in a leading role. Which we'll call best actor for SAG Awards. Javier Bardem being the Ricardos, Benedict Cumberbatch, Power of the Dog, Andrew Garfield, Tick, Tick, Boom, Will Smith, King Richard, Denzel Washington, Tragedy of Macbeth. Pretty straightforward list here. I guess the only quote-unquote surprise was Javier Bardem here for being the Ricardos, though I think he is so charming and like really likable in the movie and obviously has a lot of SAG support because he was a nominee here for like Skyfall, like we've talked about in the past. So I was not surprised to see him show up here. I'll be curious to see how this translates over to the Oscars. I feel like four probably are safe, right? Like, I mean, Denzel, I think, is going to probably get in at the Oscars.
Yeah, well. Like Benedict, Andrew, Will, and Denzel, I think, are safe now.
So then for the fifth spot, you would have Javier Bardem. You'd have maybe Bradley Cooper still for Nightmare Alley, though that really flopped here pretty much, except for...
Hey, listen, Kate got in.
Maybe Joaquin Phoenix, though that has seemingly died off. Maybe Nicolas Cage for Pig. I think Peter Dinklage for Cyrano probably needed this nomination.
Yeah.
And that he didn't get it is a little bit of a demerit on his award season candidacy. Would you agree?
Yeah. And I was that's why I never predicted him here, even though obviously like everyone loves him. But it just felt like, you know, like Cyrano, they delayed the release and everything. And it was just like, I felt like it was underseen and it didn't feel like it was a high priority screener for them. Right. And I know, like, I think he was like in the top five, right? And like predicted to get in here.
I think I had him in predicted and he did not.
Yeah. So I think like, you know, I think most people are thinking like that fifth spot was between him and Leo, cause of how Don't Look Up blew up over the holidays. And
I didn't even mention Leo as a fifth spot for the Oscars. So you've been on the Leo train for so long, Joyce.
I know. So, and yesterday when I was like floating the idea of like adding Javier instead of Leo, I literally had Javier in for 5 minutes. And by the time I went through the other categories, I was like, I'm going to change it back. So yeah, I don't know who I would put in to my like Oscar in that fifth spot in the Oscars. Cause
it seems go ahead.
But at the same time, like that, like Javier got in, like I could easily see him missing at the Oscars and I could see like a passion pick, like Nicolas Cage getting in the vein of like a Willem Dafoe for at Eternity's Gate, you know?
Right. I think Nicolas Cage has a really strong shot and I think he's obviously like an industry favorite. I feel like a lot of people like him and he's kind of like aged into that, like, spot where like a lot of young actors are like look up to him or like the movies that obviously grew up on his movies. So they're like, you know, in awe of him. If you watch the Hollywood Reporter roundtable with the actors, like he's like the elder statesman there, which is just weird to me.
And because just it's like, told, like amazing horse stories, Rain Man,
amazing stuff, just amazing. And I'm like, you know, he's been doing a lot of knock around roles and stuff recently. And like, this is definitely a return to form, I think, for his, you know, his talent. And obviously he's a former winner. So I could see Nicolas Cage getting in. I think Javier Bardem is a strong shot. I still don't believe in Leo as much as you do, just because I don't think it's like an all-time Leo performance. No,
this would be probably like just film-wise, his worst reviewed film if he were to get in at the Oscars. Right, I don't like, like I said last time, like this is the true test for him if he could get in here. And he didn't like right. the ensemble got in. So there's still like a path for him to the Oscars. Like he didn't make the long list, at BAFTA. So, but I don't know if I could see him both like getting the necessary number one votes, for the Oscars, on the nominating ballot. But also not getting enough, if you know what I mean?
Right.
Like it's not truly, it's so divisive that it's like not like a truly passion pick and it's not his best performance ever either. So.
Right. And I think that's why I'd still like might lean towards Bardem because I think, well, maybe it's not his best performance ever. It's definitely like, he's not done stuff like this in the awards movies that he's been in contention for. You know what I mean? He's mm-hmm. more known for either obviously like playing incredible villains or like deadly serious stuff like Beautiful was, you know what I mean? Like, or The Sea Inside, right? Wasn't that him as well? Was that his movie, Joyce? I don't know that didn't get nominated, but
like stopped listening because I was like doing my predictions.
Totally fine.
Continue.
I was like, this is much more of a lighthearted, you know, there's more like a lighter touch to what he does with Desi Arnaz mm-hmm. and being the Ricardos. And I think that could really help propel him in. I mean, I don't know. We'll see. These four, like we said, Benedict Cumberbatch, Andrew Garfield, Will Smith, and Denzel Washington feel pretty set. And I have Andrew Garfield winning, Joyce. We've talked about
this. I put him back in first because
I have him winning at SAG, and I think he might go all the way at the Oscars, but we'll see.
I mean, I know like Will is the front runner.
Yes.
But there is a lot of passion for Andrew's performance.
It feels like a lot of the actors really do have warmed him.
you know, you saw Juliana Margulies' yes. Instagram last night. So
yes. People love Andrew Garfield. All right. Best actress choice. This was a doozy. Wild category.
You can read the nominees. Okay.
Jessica Chastain, Isaac Tammy Faye, Olivia Colman, The Lost Daughter, Lady Gaga, House of Gucci, Jennifer Hudson for Respect, and Nicole Kidman for Being the Ricardos, and no Kristen Stewart. Joyce, what happened and what are we going to do about it?
So yesterday, while we were discussing Javier Bardem, we also discussed the possibility of Kristen Stewart being snubbed. And yes. I talked to two other people about this at the same time yesterday. And we all were like, oh, yeah, she could get snubbed. But then like 2 minutes later, we're like, she'll probably get in. Like, she won't win SAG, but she'll get no. Like, we've been saying this the entire time. Like, she's not going to win SAG, even if she ends up winning the Oscar. And then you just snub her completely.
pretty wild. I guess it's hard to say I didn't see it coming because we did talk about it, even though people have to take us at our word that we were slacking about this because we never, I don't think, put it in any kind of writing.
We can just, you know, attach a screen grab of our
Slack. Well, we do have the receipt. I guess I would say, like, I'm not surprised. And I'm not even convinced she'll get Oscar. I don't even know if she'll get nominated the Oscars. I think she will. Maybe.
I think she will, but I think she's like number five now.
If she gets in, she'd be number five. I think the problem is the movie just doesn't have a lot of passion for it.
You're a Telluride friend.
And also it feels like it came out 1,000 years ago. That's the other issue, I feel like.
So the other thing about this is like, I think Neon did like the best job it could with it. Like it hit the festivals, mm-hmm. obviously. It was released in November. They did a ton of press in the lead up. She did everything. And they also sent out screeners early for SAG. So this was not a late screener issue.
No.
Like, they just did not take to it. And there are always like stories of people walking out of these screenings, like the guild screenings, because they were just like, WTF, like your pal.
Right. And the other thing is like, we talked about, like, if you look at the list of nominees outside of Olivia Colman for The Lost Daughter, who we could say that's in a very arty movie. I'd say it's definitely at least in the same area code as Spencer. Right. I think it's better personally. And I think it's more entertaining certainly, but mm-hmm. it is definitely an art house movie. These other four performances and movies are as mainstream down the middle things as you can find.
All playing real people.
And all playing real people. And I think Spencer then with Kristen Stewart is a complete outlier because it's not a traditional bio. And while she is doing Princess Diana, it's definitely not like any of these other actresses doing their person. And I think that hurts her performance because obviously there is a reason why biopics do so well in awards. People like that traditional expectations. And by subverting those expectations, maybe you're going to win more critical acclaim like Spencer has, obviously, because people really like it, especially critically. But maybe, you know, when you're sitting down with the screener, you just want the Eyes of Tammy Faye version of Princess Diana, not the Spencer version of Princess Diana.
Yeah, the Spencer as a whole, you know, what do they call it? A fable?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the opening title card. Yeah, it's I think it's just alienating.
That's a great word, Joyce. You nailed it. Alienating is right.
To just like a populist group like SAG.
Yes.
So like, you know, we've mentioned before, it's SAG-AFTRA now since 10 years now. Oh my gosh, it's been 10 years since they merged. So it's not just actors in there. So you could get mad that, like, oh my God, actors like can't appreciate Kristen Stewart's performance, but it's not just actors. It, as part of the membership anymore, you just have like you know, like radio people, like
sure.
your local news reporters, just media personalities, and now influencers can vote too. So, you know, they might not understand the nuances of acting and like performances as like right. an actor does, you know. And yeah, like it's not your typical biopic, like all these. Like, I think the fact that Olivia got in, like I when I considered dropping Kristen Stewart, or I'm like, oh no, we were also talking about like adding J-Hud. So right. When I was thinking about adding J-Hud, I would have dropped Olivia to add J-Hud. Like, I wasn't going to drop Kristen to add right. her, you know, but yeah. I think the fact that Olivia got in just speaks to like her stature industry and like the respect she's commanded since The Favorite. Like she passed the test that Leo did not pass. Like she got in with this, not a biopic. This, like you said, like lost daughter, kind of artsy, more highbrow. But I think like people just love her. That performance is great.
Yeah.
But it's like she can both now appeal to like the highbrow crowd, the middlebrow crowd, and like maybe even like the lowbrow crowd, you know? And like I know we joked about this like way back, like what now, like 5 months ago, like right after the Emmys. You know, about like Emma, like how when Olivia won the Emmy, like she beat Emma Corrin, her co-star who played Princess Diana. And then we were like, what if she also wins the Oscar and beats Kristen Stewart, you know, playing Princess Diana? Like, mm-hmm. What could happen now?
The other thing with Olivia is, like we were saying, from a SAG standpoint, certainly, and just a visibility standpoint overall, Lost Daughter is on Netflix and Spencer is still not on streaming. I think it's still like, you have to rent it, I believe. You know, I don't think, it's not like it's on Hulu yet, even though I know Neon has like an output deal with Hulu. So that could have hurt as well. I guess from the Oscar standpoint, I feel like we've had a lot of, I've had Nicole Kidman in first at the Oscars and to still have her there winning for Ricardo's. Lady Gaga I've had in for a long time. I think Olivia Colman as well. And I've toyed with Jessica Chastain in and out, and Jennifer Hudson mostly out. I've had her in maybe once. The people who missed here that I would say beyond Kristen Stewart was like Rachel Zegler and Alana Haim. I'll get it right. Haim. But we could chalk that up to either.
I think Rachel is like the screener issue.
Certainly, because she was on the BAFTA long list. And so is Alana.
Alana was too, but I didn't expect her to get in here, although Bradley Cooper got in, but I think for different reasons.
Yes.
I've had Alana in my Oscar five. Since November, but I never predicted her here. I just didn't think she had a shot against all these biopic-y performances.
So do you think Jennifer Hudson could translate this to an Oscar nomination? It is a big performance, obviously a well-liked biopic performance from a former winner. And it's been hanging around for literally months, August. I don't know. And, you know, Jennifer Hudson she made that Hollywood Reporter Actors Roundtable cover. You know, she's been like remaining visible. You know, does she get in? And I mean, honestly, could she get in over Kristen Stewart at the Oscars as well? I still think like maybe Rachel Zegler or Alana Haim gets in one of them. But I could see also Jennifer Hudson getting in.
I kind of go back to like, does she have like the passion for like number one votes or like, you know, top two votes? And I don't know, just because like she is one of so many biopic performances. Like I feel like, you know, like Jessica has a lot of passion for that performance. Like she really elevates like Tammy Faye, you know?
She does. I mean, if you watch the movie, you're like, she's amazing. Yeah,
so that's why I was like trying to like figure out a way to like get her back in last week. So now I think I'm going to have both her and Nicole in. And yeah, so like someone we haven't mentioned who did not make it in here is Penelope Cruz, who also missed the BAFTA long list. Like not a great day.
So that I think
half of the Bardem Cruz household.
No, I would say that was more upsetting from a Penelope Cruz standpoint than this.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting her to get in at SAG. That would have been huge for her to get into SAG. But the fact that she missed the long list, like it's sort of stunning. Just like how like Kristen missed here. But like Penelope is someone I can see like getting at the Oscars, like with like the passion number one votes.
Maybe you're right. I mean, obviously
like more so than like Jay Hud.
Yeah. I can see that too.
And then like, we were saying like last week, like who is going to be like this field, like the Oscar field could have five nominees, not from best picture nominees. And like, what if it's just Gaga?
Like, now I think it actually might be right. Like, I really do feel like,
yeah. Cause we were saying like the top best picture contenders are West Side Story and La Grosh Pizza, like top five. You know, but like at the same time, Rachel Zegler and Alana Haim are newbies, like, you know, like debutantes, film debutantes, and they haven't really asserted themselves completely into like the forefront of the race. So,
and it's not fair,
I can see one or two of them getting in. I don't know. I have to update my Oscars five too.
The thing that I think that it it's not fair because I think if it was, if there was just one newcomer, they would have a much, you know what I mean? If it was just Rachel Zegler, I feel mm-hmm. like she would absolutely get in because everybody could just focus there. Like, we fell in love with this performer we've never seen before. Like,
I mean, I don't think like you only have to vote for one newcomer, but like, yes, no, like all the attention would just be like,
right. And I think having Alana and Rachel in there together, kind of diffuses it a little bit. Who's going to win this category, Joyce, without Kristen Stewart there? I still have Nicole.
I mean, like Nicole, I've had Nicole here in first, even when I dropped her for 5 days from the Oscars, I've had her winning SAG. Like,
seems like the safe bet.
It'll be her first film SAG because she's only won for Big Little Lies.
Right. So. I guess the only other strong, based on the strength of the films, Lady Gaga would be a strong runner up possibly.
I could see Gaga winning. So Gucci is the only film, right, of the ensemble nominees to get multiple individual acting nominations.
That's right.
Because King Richard also surprisingly missed for Angelus.
Pretty shocking.
Yeah.
Let's go now to the supporting categories, Joyce, because we love the supporting actor in a motion picture.
Just chaos.
It's chaos and my favorite thing. And like, I love this category so much. And I only wish Mike Feist could have made it in, but
I still think he can make it at the Oscars.
Okay. So the nominees in this category were my faves, Ben Affleck for The Tender Bar, Bradley Cooper for Licorice Pizza, Troy Kotsur for Coda, Jared Leto for House of Gucci, and Cody Smith McPhee for Power of the Dog. Neither Kieran Hines, nor Jamie Dornan got in here. You were out on Jamie Dornan, I feel like, for a long time.
I never had him in my Oscar five. And now I feel great about it.
Yeah, I think that the fact that he didn't make it here is a tough beat for his Oscar chances. And then Kieran, I don't know. I'm just shocked that he didn't make
it. Yeah, so I'm only mad at myself because yesterday I dropped Jared for Jamie because I felt like maybe they would be more like into Belfast.
Yes.
Than like the divisiveness of,
Gucci.
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 And on all the pigeons. But no, you know, they were way into Gucci and not Belfast.
No.
So this category is completely unhinged and I love it. And did you keep Ben?
I did not. I'm such a hack. I had been in, I watched Tender Bar again. We saw Tender Bar again, another movie we saw like 6 months ago.
You texted me the other night and I was like,
and I watched it the other night, and I was again like,
when they were so untruthful to Long Island.
It is one of the most derelict impressions of Long Island I've ever seen. Nothing makes sense in any kind of capacity, but it's just a regular movie.
That's not what Manhasset looks like for anyone who's never been to Manhasset.
Not at all. Nothing. My mother and father watched it. My mom is saying the same thing. And anybody who lives on Long Island is going to say, what is this? Yes. That said, the movie's really kind of nice and fun. And Ben is amazing. I think he's great. And I put him in and then I took him out like an idiot. And let me see who I put in. Hang on. I gotta load up the window.
But I cannot believe you did that after yesterday's amazing EW cover and interview by Matt Damon.
Such a great, it's an incredible moment for me and for you because we love Ben Affleck. I took him out. Here was my list of SAG nominees. This is so embarrassing. I'm just going to read it off. I had a Kieran in first. I was like, I'm so convinced.
Wow.
He's going to get in. I had him in first. I had Cody Smith McPhee and Troy Kotsur. Those feel like the most basic, obvious nominees, and they will probably carry over into the Oscars.
I think those are the only, like, Cody and Troy are the only locks in this category.
That's it. Then I had J.K. Simmons, because all of a sudden I was like, Ricardo's love, here it comes.
And well, that's the funny thing, because we're Jamie like, if another Ricardo's actor is getting in, besides Nicole, it'll probably be J.K. Like, he was more predicted than Javier.
So, and then I had Jamie Dornan and I took out Jared and I took out Ben and I took out Bradley Cooper, three of my faves for no reason. And if I would have left them all in, I would have run this category. Just unhinged. So from a long BAFTA standpoint, again, everything has to correlate. Ben Affleck did not make the BAFTA long list.
He did not. No.
So that's maybe a slight that is going to be tough for him to overcome.
I think it is. So like this category, just those three, Ben, Jared, and Bradley, like very mainstream.
Yes.
And then you got Cody and Troy.
Right.
Not many people know.
Right.
But who are also like the two locks right now. I think Kieran is still fine. I think he's like third now. But I think he'll be okay. I think he'll he'll get into BAFTA if he's not top two there.
If he misses a BAFTA, he's not.
Then I'm just like, yeah. But I also think this category could easily translate just 2 for 5 at 2 to Oscars, like it did 6 years ago when only Mark Rylance and Christian Bale got Oscar nominations. You know, I could easily see that happening because the Academy, like I feel like, you know, like we said, like with the merger of SAG-AFTRA. And then also the influx of new members at the Academy, like the groups are just becoming increasingly divergent. And the Academy is so much smaller than SAG. Like there's only 9,000 members. And in the acting branch, I think it's just a little over 1,000. And the SAG NOMCOM has 2,500 people. Right. There's more people in the SAG NOMCOM than there are in the Academy acting branch. And there's more overlap with the BAFTA membership. With the Academy, then I think we'll be like with SAG as a whole, like the entire SAG membership, which would vote for the winners, 160,000 people, just massive. So now I don't really know what I'm going to do with the Oscars here, but
I think Cody and Troy are
safe. Yeah, they're good. I think I'll keep Kieran. I'm glad I never had Jamie.
As a wise person who Joyce once said, a coattails here is probably a strong bet. So I think Mike Feist would probably be a much lot more likely best supporting actor nominee at the Oscars than here, and perhaps even a BAFTA, though he did make the short list. I think he could get in still because
I think I decided after I saw West Side Story on November 30th that like he's going to be my Paul Racy of the year, like someone I just unconditionally support throughout the season. And it was a lot easier last year with Paul, even though he missed some precursors, but he was like the critical favorite.
Yes.
So he got a nomination. I knew he wasn't winning, but it was fine. 2 years ago, it was J-Lo for me. That did not turn out well. But I saw the writing on the wall when she got snubbed at BAFTA. But yeah. So I just want Mike to get the nomination.
I think he can, though, Joyce.
I think he can because he made the BAFTA long list, like we said. I think that he has like an outside shot of getting the nomination. I don't think he's top two there, but the jury could still pick him. And then yes, like my whole BP coattail argument. And also I think he has a lot of passion for his performance. Like I think if you watch the movie, everyone loves him. Like my friend saw it over the holidays with her parents. And like, she texts me, she's like, oh my God, like they're like, my parents are just like raving about like Riff.
Yeah. No offense to any of the other, no offense no offense to David Alvarez, who I think is great as Bernardo.
Who's also on the long list.
On the long list. Yeah. And Ansa Elgort, who has not been in the conversation, but just as a general, as another male performer in West Side Story. I think you walk out of that movie and you're like, Mike Feist rules. There's no other male actor in the movie who can touch his performance. And then with like someone like Rachel Zegler, you also have not only just Rita Moreno, but also Ariana DeBose, who are both really incredible in the movie. And obviously Ariana is like a front runner.
And Rachel's in a tougher category.
Right. So I'm just saying like you walk out of the male actor you're walking out of West Side Story thinking about is Mike Feist. He like rules. And I think he can get in, and then that would leave. So if you have Kieran, Cody, Troy, Mike Feist, we've talked about the other coattails potentials would be like Jesse Plemons for Power of the Dog, I still think is in play, though I really could have seen him more likely getting nominated here than even at the Oscars, because I think he's got like a very good, strong reputation among actors. And then I don't know, maybe Bradley Cooper then for Licorice Pizza is like actually like pretty set. I think that he got in here when nothing else from that film got recognized, probably a late screener as well, and another kind of in the same boat as West Side Story from
they got the screener like a week before West Side Story,
so it's like not the most
but also he's like super famous.
Super famous he is, and he has Nightmare Alley, which obviously like probably, but I really do think I think he'll get in at the Oscars, Bradley. So I think
I've had Jesse Plemons in for, I guess, like a month since I made like my coattail argument. I think I'm going to actually drop him for Bradley now. I think this is like major for Bradley to get into SAG. for a 7-minute cameo. And also the fact that like he's done no press for this movie at all. Like, no. Like none of the non Alana, and I don't even think Cooper has done that much press. Cooper Hoffman.
He hasn't done
it. Probably Alana. No. Yeah. Like, no, like Sean Penn, like nobody, like none of those like supporting / cameos, have done any press. So he's just like cruising to
he's just cruising another
nomination here, like his 9th nomination. But
I think he's in.
Yeah. So I think I might put him back in, but also because like Licorice Pizza is a Best Picture nominee as well, right. Or like we're expecting it to be. Whereas with Jared, like, yes, like Gucci could be one, but I think it's also like his performance is also divisive. I think a lot of like the love for that movie is with Gaga.
Right. I think Gaga's performance is like unimpeachable. Like even people who are lukewarm on the movie are like, she's really great. And I think Jared's performance, your mileage may vary because it's very big. Like
and then with Ben, who I would love to see get nominated for The Last Duel. I think like we said last week, I think he could be the Jared Leto of the year, like of the little things like last year, you know?
Yeah.
Cause if he gets in here, he would be a lone nominee.
That's going to be a big issue.
Like the supporting categories favor, coattails, like people in Best Picture contenders, like Pendebar, no offense, is not getting nominations anywhere else.
And it's not getting no other nominations. Right.
Yeah. And I also can't see it being a passion pick that gets a lot of number one votes.
So I wonder though, here's the thing. If it was anybody other than Ben, I would say yes, but I think he's done, you know, the guy's got 9 lives in Hollywood. He's obviously a comeback guy. I think the way he's shaped his narrative in like the EW cover, like you were talking about, is that he's now focused on being an actor and he's giving his best performances of his career off The Way Back, Last Duel, and Tender Bar. And you could argue he's not wrong. Like those are three great performances. Right?
He's always been a great actor. I think he's just been misused because he's not your traditional leading man.
Right. And now all these movies are like kind of using him properly. That plus, so I think he's got a great narrative. I think obviously he's like got a lot of goodwill amongst people in Hollywood, even though he kind of like stepped in it with that like Jennifer Garner, Howard Stern interview, while a lot of it was taken out of context. Which I think was
completely taken out of context.
It was.
Listen to it. So.
I know. I don't disagree. I watched it, but I'm just saying like people, if they didn't listen, if they didn't take the time.
Oh yeah, for sure. Context, it's just like the Jeremy Strong profile. Yeah.
Right. It's just like, he's terrible. Like, but he kind of like came back from that. Obviously the EW cover I think is great. He's obviously really well-liked. I think when he works with George, obviously George Clooney directed Tender Bar, you know, we have Argo as like a example of like, it's a good luck charm. And I think having George Clooney out there stumping for Ben Affleck will only help Ben Affleck. Like when we saw it months ago, now George like was very charming and gregarious and a great salesman for the movie and for Ben, even though Ben wasn't there. I don't know. I could see if there is somebody to break that lone nominee spell, I could see it being him. And I guess the only case I would have then would be, does Kieran and Jamie, do they actually cancel each other out for Belfast? And is it like a situation where we've kind of expected Kieran to take the leap and like, be the front runner of that category from Belfast among the men, the supporting men. But I'm like, Jamie Dornan is really well liked. Maybe that is why, maybe they're just going to knock each other out. There's not enough support for either of them. And then maybe Ben sneaks in.
So you're saying like a reverse, Daniel Kaluuya and Lakeith Stanfield.
Kind of. Yeah. Honestly, because I wonder if you're just like, oh, like if you're looking at this category, like, does the depth of, and I'm just, this is just like idle nonsensical speculation, but is the depth of the category, like we've said, there's like literally you could come up with another 5 SAG, you know what I mean? It's like a crazy deep category, or like a lot of lack of consensus beyond like Cody Smith McPhee and Troy Kotsur. Does that actually hurt the Belfast guys and specifically Huron? Because like, you know, when you get down to it, are you going to be like, oh, I'm going to put, you know, maybe I'll put him 5. You know, will he not have enough top support? Because you're going to be like, oh, I'd rather like kind of weigh, you know, one of these other longer shots, like a Ben Affleck or Jared Leto or whatever over Huron. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
I mean, yeah, I could see that as well. Like him not getting enough, like number one votes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that could be a problem, I think.
Yeah. Cause I also like, it's weird. Cause I can never get a consensus on how people feel about the performances in this movie. Cause
correct.
I feel like you talk to like people who've seen it. And like someone thinks like Katrina's the best and someone thinks like Kieran is the best. And someone like loves Jamie, you know, I guess like Judy is the only one who's doesn't get like raves on par with them.
She's just not in it enough.
Yeah, she's not, although she has like the final line and the shot.
Final image. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and you know, Kieran also exits the movie, halfway through. I don't know. Like,
yeah, he does halfway through and he's only got like, I mean, if you think like, I guess
none of the adults are in it a lot.
That's true. And also I think if you're thinking of like the memorable moments, like you said, I think he's got the least memorable moment. He's got like, you know, his emotional character, because he plays the boy's grandfather and obviously he ends up like imparting a lot of wisdom on him. But I mean, like the standout moments in the movie are like Katrina Balfe on the bus and Jamie Dornan singing and Judi Dench in the last shot. Like those to me are like the three best moments in the movie. And he's not in any of those moments. And
no, he just gives Buddy like advice.
Right. And it's just not as memorable as those other things. And I think if you're not a big fan of the movie and you're just kind of like remembering the movie, you might be like, oh, yeah, he was good, but I'd like Ben Affleck better. You know, I don't know. I mean, it is a pretty wide open category. I don't know. I could see him missing it at Oscars too.
Yeah, I think we're kind of banking on him like getting in at BAFTA.
Yeah.
Just because he's like, you know, a veteran and stuff. And then that will be enough for him to make it in Oscars. But yeah, I could see them both missing there. Just like here, like I said, it could go 2 for 5 and yes. I would not be surprised.
No, but bless the Ben Affleck nomination. Anybody else here, Joyce, who we not mentioned who you think can get in, I guess at the Oscars based on.
I do feel bad for Robin DeJesus because I know some people were kind of predicting him as like an outside shot. Also to like sort of, I guess, like validate like an Andrew Garfield prediction to win or like that, or like Tick, Tick, Boom in ensemble. So I don't know who else.
I think that's it. I mean, like we said, it is a very deep category, but I was very pleased to see Ben there. And I have Cody Smith-McPhee winning.
I think he's just like going to sweep now.
So I guess the only pause was, does Troy or Jay, I don't know. Does Troy have enough juice to win? I don't think he does, but
I think like the nomination will probably be his reward. I guess you could say like maybe Coda is more like mass appealing than
that was the thinking, but I don't know.
But I think Cody has built up so much momentum. Like I think he also benefited from like the early perception of the race, like way back in the fall when, you know, everyone was talking about him, Power of the Dog, and people were also talking about Belfast and people were double predicting Belfast here. And now like they like those two guys both flopped here.
Right.
And no one was even talking about Troy that much because it was kind of like, you know, maybe Marley Matlin and she hasn't made anything either.
Right.
So, and then like Troy, like once he won like the Gotham Award, that's when he started like really popping. Right. But Cody has still been dominating like critics awards and everything. So I think he could just sweep on from here on out.
I think he might as well. And it is a great performance. So that'll be nice. And then finally, Joyce, for the acting, best supporting actress. We've talked about this. Katrina Balfe, Cate Blanchett, Ariana DeBose, Kirsten Dunst. Blanchett
for Nightmare Alley.
Cate Blanchett for Nightmare Alley, Ariana DeBose for West Side Story, Kirsten Dunst for Power of the Dog, and Ruth Negga for Passing. So Ruth Negga was a surprise. No Anjanae Ellis.
I remember last week when I was like, if Ruth makes it in here, I think she's good for the Oscar nomination. So I'm putting her in.
She was also in the BAFTA long list.
Yes. Which that was less surprising, but happy about like Ruth getting in that I initially did not even realize that Anjanae was snubbed. Like I heard like Cate Blanchett, so I was like, oh my god, like she made it in, and maybe like, you know, like Marley didn't get in, and then like Ruth got in, and it didn't even like occur to me that like someone was snubbed until like I realized like Kristen Stewart was snubbed, but I was like, oh my god, Anjanae was snubbed. Like 10 minutes later.
So I could very easily see this all the nominations and categories we talked about. I could actually see this one translating 5 for 5 at the Oscars.
With Cate?
Yes. I could really see that happening. Even though Nightmare Alley is seemingly flopped, I think people really, really love Cate Blanchett in that movie. And she's like a deliciously, mischievous and villainous in the film. And I think it's just a bigger kind of louder performance than Anjanae Ellis. And I think maybe that'll end up hurting her. I don't know. I've had Anjanae Ellis like in there since August, but I'm not convinced it's going to happen. I just, you know what the problem is? I wonder if there's a lot of, is there enough passion for her performance? Like, I think, you know, it's maybe four or five on a lot of people's ballots. And again, maybe if you end up, maybe just ends up missing because of that. I don't know.
Yeah. I think this is the snub that it's the low key big snub that is not being talked about enough. Well, I don't know, but like, I think everyone's talking about Kristen Stewart and yeah. It's like, oh yeah.
Or the
like,
Belfast guys.
Yeah. Or, and like, you know, oh yeah. Anjanae was also snub, but like, the fact that, I mean, we all expected Will to get in. That wasn't a surprise. But like King Richard also got into ensemble and she was snubbed. And like, I know people like, you know, for months were also, maybe she wasn't number one, the prediction center, but people like thought she could win this, if not the Oscar. Right. And now she's not even nominated here. And that is a very SAG friendly performance. King Richard is a very SAG friendly film.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, like, aspirational, inspirational. She has like a big moment right in the middle of the film. You know, she lays into Will Smith. That's her Oscar clip. So it's like the fact that she missed to like a performance in a film that has not been doing well, like Nightmare Alley. Like it, I think it only got like four mentions on the long list, you know, and obviously just for Kate here. Kate made the long list, but for Don't Look Up. So I'm just like, that could cancel. She could cancel herself out because she can't get double nominated in the same category. I think Anjanae can still get in at the Oscars. So I think like of all the categories, I think this category has the most firm possible lineup with Ariana, Kirsten, Katrina, Ruth, and Anjanae, but I could also see her missing because I think Ruth will have the passion votes and get like number ones to get in.
Absolutely. And I think like the others are kind of set. I mean, if Kirsten Dunst, I think the fear was maybe she was going to go down the path of like Amanda Seyfried last year, missed at SAG, obviously still got in at the Oscars. But the fact that she got in here, it just feels like locked in that she'll get in at the
Oscars. It's funny because I know a lot of people were doubting Kirsten.
Yeah.
To get in here and like she's the one who got in and it's Anjanae that missed, you know?
I mean, I guess, I don't know. I just think I could see Kate getting in for Nightmare Alley. I really could. I think the headline of that movie is her performance and Bradley Cooper in the end of the movie. And so, and like all the craft stuff. And so I could still see her getting in. I don't know. But the others are all safe. And I think Ariana DeBose, the fact that Rita Moreno did not get in here, which I felt like was a really good shot of her getting in here, even though the screeners were late and everything. But the fact that Ariana got in with all the West Side Story issues of, you know,
yeah, I mean, that just shows scene. Like how far ahead she's been. So I think Rita has an outside shot at the Oscars. But yeah, I guess it just depends on like how big they go on West Side Story. And, you know, this is the category that's friendliest to double nominees.
Yes.
So
who do you got here? Joyce, Ariana, right? For winning?
Yeah, I have Ariana.
Yeah. I mean, so before we go, Joyce, anything else on the BAFTA long list? Anything that shocked you?
I don't know if, I mean, well, like we said before, Don't Look Up got 15
long. So Don't Look Up is going to get like a ton of nominations at the Oscars.
Well, I wouldn't be so sure about that, but because I actually looked up last year's. So here, let me read off last year's stats.
Please.
So last year, Trial Chicago 7 had 15 long list mentions, got 3 nominations. Okay. Mank had 14, translated to 6. Promising Young Woman had 13. Got 6.
Okay.
So those were like the top 3.
So Don't Look Up could get like picture, screenplay, a few more.
Score,
right. Editing.
Maybe. I don't know if any of the actors will get in. Like, I don't, like, well, I don't I think say, Leo I, was I, top 2 and I can't see the jury picking him.
I will say I was kind of surprised that Jennifer Lawrence made it. that kind of stood out to me. And I was like, I wonder if she'll get in here at BAFTA just on her name alone.
Mm.
And it is a really, I think she's the best performance in the movie. So if you like the movie a lot, maybe you like her the best.
I can't see the jury picking her because I don't think she'll be, I don't know who is in the top two. I mean, no one does, but like, I mean,
I can't see her being in the top two.
I don't think Kristen Stewart's in the top two now.
No, I think it'll be like, I mean, what if it's like Olivia Colman and Lady Gaga?
Honestly, I could see it as like Olivia and Nicole. Like,
Well, the other wild card I would say is Renate Renziv.
I think she would be a jury pick.
So I think she can get in here. I doubt I said her name right. But it looks like
that was good.
That was good. Renate Renziv. Yes. For worst person in the world, another late comer from Neon. It's not even out yet. I think it comes out like, I mean, it's going to be at Sundance. You know what I mean? It's like, it's screened though at a lot of different festivals. So, I could see, I mean, that people love that movie. I think it's a lot in the same conversation as like a Alana Haim.
Yeah. Like I can see Renata being a jury pick. I can see Tessa Thompson being a jury pick.
I was going to say Tessa Thompson too would be a jury pick.
Rachel Zegler being a jury pick.
Or Amelia Jones.
So there's six slots. So there's two, the top two automatically get in. We don't know who they are. And then the jury picks four. So I don't know about Kristen Stewart.
I mean, if she misses here, even with the,
okay, so the other thing is Oscar nomination voting closes before BAFTA nominees are announced. So BAFTA nominees won't influence Oscar nominating voting.
No, but we'll have a good idea of what the large international body of voters maybe is thinking.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was like, I'm looking, nothing really else stood out. I guess from a SAG standpoint,
well, I guess like for in lead actor, on the Belfast side, Jude Hill did not get longlisted.
Scott Feinberg is going to be upset because he had him in there still, I think, for best actor. Yeah,
so that's not great for it because Woody Norman, also another child actor, got longlisted in supporting actor. I mean, you can say like, supporting is different than lead, but
Cooper Hoffman got in on the short list for Licorice Pizza, so long list, I guess it is.
Mm.
For in the lead actor.
But like you're one of your faves, Ana de Armas got in for
No I saw Time that and I love that. I gotta be honest, I'm into that. The long list has Ana de Armas and Anya Taylor Joy from Last Night in Soho. Two great performances and two very mainstream movies that did not maybe do
what if the jury picks Ana de Armas?
I mean, they would be awesome if they did. And she would definitely deserve it. If Bradley Cooper could get in for Licorice Pizza, which is a great performance, so should Ana de Armas. She rules.
She's in it for more than 7 minutes, right?
She's in it for like 9 minutes. And she rules.
Just the best.
Absolutely best part of the movie.
I mean, I haven't seen it, like, but that's what everyone says. Like, she comes in, kills it, and then leaves.
So how about another one, just looking at the BAFTA long list. Ann Dowd made it for Mass, but obviously no SAG, any love for Mass. It felt like if Ann Dowd was going to get in any Oscar conversation, she had to
get it. Yeah, it's SAG. Unfortunate because I, like Bleecker, like the word on the street was like, they really targeted their campaign towards the actors, obviously, because it's, you know, that whole film is just the four of them. They came up short. And I think, so for the compilation of the long list, it's the top 12 vote getters and then three jury picks for a total of 15. So I think Ann Dowd was a jury pick to make the long list because Mass didn't even make anything screenplay else.
Yeah. Last one here and then we'll wrap up from a BAFTA perspective. Jessie Buckley for The Lost Daughter. I could see her making it in either from a jury selection or basically from the jury. Do you think she has any shot at the Oscars? Again, it would be a long shot. And we've already talked about how supporting actress is kind of like firmed up. But I think if Lost Daughter ends up overperforming at the Oscars, she can seriously make it in. She's awesome in that movie.
I think it would be similar to when Sally Hawkins co-tailed off of Cate Blanchett for Blue Jasmine, which did not make it into Best Picture, but the difference is that Kate was stomping that entire season. She just swept, which Olivia is not doing right now.
Not yet. So, wait until...
But she hasn't, you know, like Kate won everything.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
All right, Joyce, this was fun. If you're watching this and like, when are they going to talk about TV? Go watch our TV
Yeah. So more succession talk.
We'll talk about succession and also Yellowstone, which I
your bragging rights.
My one bragging right. Joyce, this is fun. We'll talk more about this obviously in the future, but talk to you later.
For all things Hollywood competition and award season, head to goldderby.com and follow us on social media at goldderby.